And as we pray right now, for every single one that's going to be listening to these, a series on Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, I just pray that the authority of the living Christ, the blood of Christ, the cross, God's grace, authority, and might would be over you with great, great protection and the Spirit of God's great discernment. And may the hand of God go out to reach and minister appropriately to everyone listening. Let me tell you something, that in doing this series, we have found great spiritual opposition. In doing specifically the newest chapter on the book, The Black Awakening, called 500 Million Satanic Rituals. That chapter and this session number six has been a real battle in 2 weeks to get done and put out for everybody. Let me say again, welcome. This is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. This is from the series Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, session number six, Battling the Prince of Darkness. Now, that's an incredible phrase, battling the Prince of Darkness. First of all, do you believe that he exists? And the phrase, Prince of Darkness, who is this being? Now, I would assume that many of you that listen to the broadcast and the series, you deeply understand spiritual warfare, the dark side, and really what the enemy's doing all around the world. Now, when we say enemy, we mean the enemy literally of the human race, of God, and of Israel, of the body of Christ. And we can look again at all kinds of scriptures giving us the overview of the origin, the nature, the methodology, the agenda. Let me also say the ferocious passion of the dark side, their awareness, their search, their looking. Now again, if you're a believer in Christ, you've got to know the Word of God pretty well. And you read in 1 Peter 5 clearly of how the enemy roams around. Now he's looking. Get these words. Looking for someone to devour. And specifically in that context, referring to believers in Christ. And so it's just an absolute essential to see what the Spirit of God is saying. God's giving believers in Christ the instructions about the battle. I mean, not only the joy of your salvation and knowing Christ and growing deeper and getting the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God in your life to live, but you cannot live this life as a believer without realizing that you're going to have spiritual opposition. So the Spirit of God says in Ephesians 6, this battle, this struggle, this warfare is not against flesh and blood. And everything that Job went through, it was simply, in the world's eyes, in the counselors that came to him, that counseled without any understanding of spiritual warfare. They simply could not help him. They could not touch on what was really going on. And I believe that's true of many counselors all over, and many, I'm saying believers, as pastors and others, that if you do not have a real deep grasp, which to me is the normal thing, of spiritual warfare and the conflict, and the methodology, the agenda, you know, how the enemy works, then counseling other believers, it cannot be done without this within the centrality of that grid of counseling. And I think the Word of God gives the insight. I think growing in the Lord experientially gives that insight. But I'm just absolutely dumbfounded by the fact that so many believers, and I even hear leaders in talk shows and preachers and so forth, that really dumb down the concept of spiritual warfare. I can't understand that, since this prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now supernaturally operative in those who are disobedient, those who are opposed to God, those who don't know Christ, the agenda that is ramping up, unprecedented presence of the dark side, and the truth is we haven't seen anything. It will grow darker spiritually as far as numbers of demonic presence, numbers of counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, doctrines, false Christs, false prophets. All of this will grow massively It'll be felt in the air, as we said, the prince of the power of the air. Greek word, eros, the idea of the immediate dense atmosphere. So in the cities, in homes, around churches, so many have said over the years, Russ, we feel it in the air. We feel the oppression. Well, that's normal in the sense of detecting what's really there. When you detect the presence, the energy, the felt sense of darkness, then behind that is the entities. As I've always said, if there's satanic power, satanic or energies or whatever, well, behind the energy, behind the power, are the entities that emanate the powers and energy, and entities which are, again, the demons. And so we're dealing with a series of messages that I think are the most important, because it has everything to do with the ramping up the dark side. As I've said before, and I will stress again, the dark side cannot advance without real satanic power. Just like the church has to be clothed in the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God, the power in prayer, the advance of the kingdom is done by the power of the Spirit of God in and through believers. And there's Jesus working operatively, supernaturally with the believers. Check again Mark 16:20, that the disciples went out everywhere. They were evangelizing, which, again, that is the cutting edge. That is the top priority of the body of Christ of every believer. And if we are in that, then we'll have the same kind of, well, it says there in 16:20, the Gospel of Mark, that Jesus then worked with them. He operated supernaturally. He's alive, my friends. As a believer in Christ, you should know that. He's in you. He's with you. He's upon you. And he also is among and walks among the church. And he's alive in and operative supernaturally, confirming the Word of God, showing his power in the context of evangelism. And so I think the greatest place is to be involved in the mission of God. God's power, works, signs, well, all of it is in the mission of reaching the world, which is the most important thing. That's our mission. I mean, the dark side understands their mission. The dark side understands the goal of bringing massive spiritual confusion, massive spiritual alternatives to preoccupy people and to move people from the truth to an error, to exchange the truth of God for a lie. The agenda to ramp up supernatural signs, wonders, supernatural events, supernatural experiences, supernatural encounters. There's no question, as we've said. But behind all of this supernatural ramping up, you've got to remember, the prince of darkness. Now, when we look at Ephesians 2, when we look at Jesus describing Satan's work in the gospel, that he's the father of lies, that he's a murderer, and that the prince of this world now stands judged. Well, we understand that there's a ruler of the power of the air, again, dense atmosphere around the globe. Now, we can look again in 1 John 5, how the evil one is in control of the fallen world system. We can also look to Revelation 12, that there is an agenda. This is what most are forgetting. And this is what I want to convey again, that there is an agenda, that it's increasing as never before in history and will continue to do so to the very day of Christ. There is no great massive spiritual confusion and deception and counterfeits without the real operative presence of Satan and the demonic. There is no coming massive chaos where peace is taken from the earth and men butcher one another and destruction comes. A lot of this could be read again. Check it out in Matthew 24. The chaos that's going to collapse nations, that's going to bring massive bloodshed and anarchy that will literally force the world into a new world order. That's not going to occur without massive release of satanic powers. And then that will itself bring in more and then the rise. Listen, the apocalypse of Anthropos Anamos, 2 Thessalonians 2. We've been saying this all along, that in accordance with the work, see that Greek word work there in 2 Thessalonians 2? Supernatural operative presence, operative power, a secret power. Though you and I cannot see the majority of it, like Ezekiel 8, when nobody in Jerusalem, nobody could detect, knew that there was massive, historic, long-term, satanic serpent worship going on right there in the city. Even the prophet did not know. So I'm going to tell you now, there's thousands of pastors and thousands of spiritual, they don't know. Germans did not know when millions were being slaughtered in the camps. So I'm going to tell you again, when we talk about battling the Prince of Darkness, 500 million rituals, what's going on in the majority until the big chaos, until the rise of Antichrist, until the abyss is open, until we approach Armageddon, so much of this is literally spiritually underground, done in spiritual darkness. It's a secret power of lawlessness. And this whole series, Dark, is about how to detect, how to find, how to confront, how to deal with that. And once any believer or groups of believers begin to do this, and it's going to be my prayer that thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands, will eventually, and I just really pray, I believe this is part of spiritual revival for the body of Christ. You cannot be a part of the body of Christ without realizing that Jesus was building a church that the gates of hell would not prevail against. And so we're birthed into the conflict. The conflict, it definitely involves Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, my healer, my helper, my the one that loves me, the joy of the Lord, the eternal gift of life, and the constant walk with Him, the constant growing and development in relationships, and living out the love of God and being motivated by God's love to reach the world. So it's literally grace as the forefront, but on the other hand, there's the need for spiritual discernment, looking for that impending danger, unleashing the authority of Christ, and maybe even going after in your city, in your areas, what's going on. So if your church or your city has had, satanic rituals done, and I'm going to assume because of the 500 million satanic rituals done in the United States. Listen, for the Europeans, Russians, I've got articles right on our website about Russian national security leadership recognize that satanic cults were trying to infiltrate Russian police departments. With all of the Psy War and non-human enhancement there in Russia over the years, from the 50s on, specifically 60s and 70s, the whole Psy War project and getting into the paranormal and the growth of Satanism, and you can even track it back to Rasputin, to Marx. You've got to understand Russia, and I want to welcome Russian listeners and those in Luxembourg and Germany, Lithuania, all across Czech Republic and up in Norway and Finland and Sweden and UK and Scotland and France and Spain and Italy, those near, right there, almost next door to the Vatican, all the way to Pretoria, all the way into South Africa, South America, Brazil and Bangalore and Beijing, China and four or five other cities. And the Philippines, and Japan, and the Hawaiian Islands, and Barbados. Listen, Mexico, Canada, I'm just simply saying, I recognize that these specific messages are being downloaded in 60 or more countries of the world. I have individuals that write to me to say that they are making CDs, and they're giving them out. And we encourage that. But I would also have to say, for those everywhere that are listening, that and again, those who knew the recon, Luciferians and Satanists and chosen ones and some personalities and you know, the ones that are the predatory, the ones, the purpose, creating the chosen ones, doing the rituals. If there's been 500 million rituals in the United States alone, we're talking another billion throughout Europe. It's clearly spiritually darker with that sense of the spirit of Antichrist and that antagonistic critical mass against the real Christ that has gotten so deep. That does not mean for the believers anywhere listening that the living Christ, the power of God, the authority of Christ, and all that God would grant in the mission of evangelism is available to you. You can demonstrate the massive, massive grace. And that's why we did the session called the Philip Factor. It's on the front part of the Shatter the Darkness website. Check out the Philip Factor if you're a believer in Christ. And about, again, what's the best way and what's the best thing to do until it's all over? And it's without question, not being silent, not being suppressed. You know, that's what the dark side and the ramping up, and the goal is to bring silence and suppression to the church while it literally, it's like bank robbers that come in with guns and they silence everybody, they suppress everything as they're robbing. They're actively robbing and doing what they're doing while they're also silencing and suppressing everybody. And that's part of what the methodology of the enemy is. That's what we read in 1 Thessalonians, Paul, the great apostle, on his way to do ministry, and guess what occurs? Just as before, he has the issue of, he says it, he was on his way in mission, but Satan stopped us. For anybody in ministry that does not understand the warfare, and I'm coming right out of a week and a half of really ferocious warfare, really strong opposition, stuff that has brought some pain to my life, and that agitation and the heat of those arrows of the enemy, and it had everything to do with specifically getting that next chapter out, which will be out shortly, within a day or so again, the attempt will be, and then this series has been fought against spiritually. So we had to kind of back off a little bit, put more prayer and target, and continue. It involves that actual rituals have been done with the summoning of demons and sending them to stop this. And we have been there before, but I'm telling you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, in the sight of God, in the sight of Christ Jesus, and the elect angels, I am telling you in God's presence, that the ramping up biblically prophesied and here before us is unprecedented. And we've seen nothing yet. And you will see more and more as the days go. That only means one thing. To just literally, as Ephesians 6 says, to become strong in the mighty power of God. One of those things, one of the ways, put on the armor of God. And that's why we've been given the clothing of the Spirit, the authority. Have you used the authority of Christ lately? Again, in conferences everywhere, 3/4 of the people don't even know about, believers, don't even know about their authority in Christ. And the fourth that does, maybe I'm speaking to those who are interested in this session, many don't know to use it. They're just kind of like waiting for some demonic thing to occur. But that authority, as I've already done a session, should be used in praying over the city, praying over your neighborhoods, praying over the church, and everywhere you detect and see demonic presence, powers, and where you need to ask the Lord what's going on to get a heads up. Because even as I've spoken now for a number of minutes in this session, almost 20, there is no question that some of you, and listen, send us an email, let us know. When I would teach courses on this material in large groups and larger churches and places, we would see some 10, 15 people drop out in the first number of, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. Because as they entered in to grow deep in the Lord, in His authority they've been given, in spiritual warfare and prayer and evangelism, and also knowing the enemy and being and seeing the enemy being exposed, tremendous awareness, really elevating their spiritual power, maturity, ability, and response and activity. Well, I guarantee you the enemy would love to sift. And so we've seen a lot of believers, and maybe you going through the series, you've experienced some pretty heavy-duty warfare, and it would be the enemy's goal not to let people hear. I would ask believers to pray powerfully and strongly that this series gets in the hands of many, and that God would bless it, protect it, guard it, put it out there, because I can guarantee you that there will be those on the other side that will curse it, do rituals against it, let alone the fact the prince of darkness will fight against it, no question about it. So let me get ready to go on here with some of the notes that we have. And again, let me say that we're waiting till we're all done to put all the notes together, because by putting them out little by little, it'll become so massive as far as on the website. So let me just say that we're going to eventually put all those up there for you to have too. But we've got primarily about 4 points in this part 6, and it's literally titled Out of the Darkness into the Light, Battling the Prince of Darkness and Bringing Lives to Christ. Now, I'm going to give you a word of Scripture that comes out of the book of 1 Peter. Just listen to the words. Quote, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." So the concepts of darkness, the Greek word meaning, you know, everything that involves the satanic presence, power, system, rebellion against God, and that agenda. All that would hold us there, darkness. And then we have wonderful light. And again, the counterfeit New Age light never has a revelation of the source. It basically just says, go into the light. Well, counterfeit light is Satan. Counterfeit light is Satan masquerading as an angel of light. But this word here, in the idea of the full revealing light and moral spiritual beauty of heaven, that we've been called out of the darkness, sin, Satan, fallen world system, all of that, and into the brilliant, beautiful light of Christ. Reading the Gospel of John chapter 1, Jesus is the light of the world. And believers, don't forget the fact that you're supposed to be. At work, in your neighborhood, is your light shining by the good deeds, by the prayers, by the evangelism? Well, here, there's an identification. And let me just say to all listening, regardless of what country in all of the world, you're in one circle spiritually or the other. You either know God and know Christ and know God's love, power, and grace in your life, or you don't. And all I can tell you that in all the series and all that we do, the biggest issue for me is whether you do, because God loves you. God wants you more than anyone else. God wants you, and that you can right now. You don't have to wait to the end of this session. The Word of God says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever believes on Him and receives Him, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of salvation, forgiveness. Christ will come to live in your life. God wants to come inside of your life. And it may be by God's arrangement, providence, that you're listening right now, and that I have felt led by the Spirit of God at the very beginning of this session here to tell you that let the living Savior who died for you, shed His blood, rose from the dead. This is the Savior I'm speaking about. And He lives inside my life. That's why I speak. That's why you're hearing these words, because of the living Christ. It's not a dry religion of rules. It's not about an institution. It is about a relationship with God, knowing God personally. And I want to say again to the theoretical physicists and scientists and remote viewers and others that are seeking the living, conscious universe and looking for source, guided by finite counterfeit dark spirits, you will continue to search all of your life and never come to a conclusion. It is the Spirit of God, infinite, uncreated Spirit of God, that would lead you to find Jesus Christ. And I can guarantee you right now, this Prince of Darkness I'm talking about, this ruler of darkness, wants to do everything to keep the Word of God from you, doesn't want you to get saved, and will fight against your salvation. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke the demons and Satan. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that you be released by the authority of Jesus Christ. We pray that the Spirit of God will bring that convicting, convincing of sin, righteousness, and judgment and bring you to Jesus. I pray that you will get saved, my friend. Come to know Christ. Email me, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net, and let me know. I've got materials we'll give you free to help you grow in the Lord. Wherever you are in all the world, China, Russia, Japan, Germany, wherever it is, England, United States, wherever you are, if you're a believer in Christ, I urge you by the Spirit of God and in the sight of God to keep growing daily and learn to battle the Prince of Darkness. You're saved, you're out of darkness, and you're into the light. Now I'm going to give you these points that we've been talking about from this series. In this part six, out of darkness into the light. Number one, there's four. Number one, the picture of the lost. Again, this idea, out of the darkness into the light. Let me just say quickly, if you're a Mason and you've gone through ritual in the Masonic order, claiming that you're in the dark, you've got to come into the Masonic light, you've been initiated into dark spirituality. Not the Spirit of God, not the hand of God, but you've been drawn away. You need to renounce that and get out. You really do. So I want to share with you some of the things that we've seen. A young man lost, doesn't know Jesus Christ. We're called to go visit in a city in an hour's drive away. Engaging this young man and talking to him. Now, he's a young man that says he's a Satanist, that he's wants to be the next Anton LaVey, he wants to be powerful, and on and on and on he went. But as we finally shared Christ, shared the gospel, this young man said that yes, he wanted Christ in his life. I asked him to begin to pray out loud, to call on the name of the living Christ, invite him to come into his life. The moment he did it, he was thrown to the ground, grabbing his throat, the demonic presence in him manifested, and was doing everything to stop him from believing on Jesus and calling on the name of the Lord. That's the enemy. People have found that true in what's called, quote, sleep paralysis, where you're literally, you know, literally frozen and you can't say anything. And I've seen this in many possessions. The demons do not want you to call out. They do not want you to call in the name of Jesus Christ. They do not want you to mention that. So again, the Lord Jesus, throughout all this series and this right now, and whoever listens, I'm asking the Lord Jesus to destroy the work of Satan, to crush the demonic works, and any demon that seeks to stop any person from listening, growing in the Lord, or any lost person from hearing and being saved and calling on Jesus' name. Now, eventually, as we instantly prayed against the demon and commanded it, release him, let him go, stop it, the demonic went off of him, and he screamed out, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. And he accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, and the power of God came into his life. Let me tell you another story. This was a team of individuals. I wasn't there. But a ministry that took young people to India, and they were trained in spiritual warfare. Let alone, and again, many believers back in the 50s and 60s were not, and 70s, and are not today. But evangelism cannot be done outside the context of spiritual warfare too. So they're out there in India sharing Jesus, going to individuals. They engage a Hindu, what they called a Hindu caste priest or a priest of a certain caste, and they began to share and share and share and share. And the girl telling the story says that he looked literally like a zombie, that nothing they said penetrated him. And she recognized, and it looked like his eyes were kind of glassy. So she began to pray against any demonic presence in him or on him, commanding to be broken, commanding to be broken through. She said that all of a sudden, he began to show emotion. He began to literally sweat. And interact and listen to the word of God, listen to the gospel. And then this man bowed down with him and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's a massive thing. Let me say about another young girl taken out of high school with other girls to learn Wicca, taken to a storefront in the little city they lived in where the school was. They went to a back room where a more experienced witch taught them and took them through some bonding rituals, other things. And they did more and more and more and more. She showed up in church one Sunday morning, and I could see she seemed literally frozen in the seat. And at the end of the service, she was three rows back, and everybody was leaving, and I went up to her, seeing her standing there. She wouldn't leave. And I said, literally, I just looked at her and I said, are they telling you not to go forward to accept Christ? She shook her head, yes. I said, are they speaking to you right now not to listen to me? And she shook her head, yes. I instantly began to command them to release her and for the demons to be bound from doing any activity. And they threw her, she went between the pews, hit her head, went to the ground, shaking. I commanded him to stop it, and it took about 3 minutes, and we prayed for the demonic to come off and for her to surrender her life. Now, the interesting thing was, her parents wanted us to come to her house. We went into her house, and we told her, let's get rid of everything that involves rituals, spells, conjuring spirits, anything at all that you've picked up over the last year. We had to get two large 30-gallon trash bags and literally filled the trash bags with all the items, and we took them out and burned everything. Now I can tell you story after story, and there are many people that are lost that are not just lost in their own sin, but now have demonic presence in them or on them because of the doorways, with millions and millions and millions of new ages, with hundreds of thousands upon thousands. They're involved in the popular and traditional and non-traditional Satanism and other growing spiritual movements throughout Europe. And behind the satanic ritual abuse, millions of victims. Many now are possessed. That's why we're hearing about all the people in Germany and Italy and America, all across the board. Voices in the head. And even suicide, spirits which would lead people to suicide and other things, all over the place. So number one, we're talking the picture of the lost. Here's some things about the lost. And if you study Romans chapter 8, you're going to see this very clearly. There is a presence within, a sin code, almost as if it's alive, operative, working in them to be hostile to God, not to submit to God. Now read again, study deeply the... If you're lost and without Christ, the Word of God in Romans 8 says that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. So you're either in Christ and His Spirit, or you're in the fallen nature, flesh, and under Satan's power. So they're both two different positions and real spiritual realms. If you're lost and don't know Christ at all, and you do not have a Spirit inside of you, this means clearly the sin nature is operative in you, according to Romans 8. According to Ephesians 2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now operative in those who are disobedient, he's operative and has rights. Satan has rights. I'm not talking about possession here. So we're just simply saying that being lost in a fallen world, sin, we're bound by sin and its power and its operative presence to oppose God, and we're bound by the legalities of Satan having ownership. That doesn't even include whether a person has gotten into something to where they've opened the door to active attachments demonically or possession. So we find Satan or sin's hostility in Romans 8. We find Satan's ownership and operating presence in Ephesians 2. We find that in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, the god of this age, blinds the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see. Now please understand, that's an operative presence and power. That's why it bugs me to no end why all the churches in the land, in the city, in your nation, on Sunday morning, if it's the house of prayer, if we read Timothy 2 correctly, that massive prayer intercession is to be given for the lost. I think every church should have 20, 30 minutes of praying for the nation, praying for the city, praying for families and others, praying for the neighborhoods, praying, pouring out intercessory prayer for the lost. It's a embarrassment and a pathetic shame that we can gather on a Sunday morning and collectively, counting up the entire time of prayer in most all churches, some I've seen 18 seconds worth of prayer total from beginning to end of the service. In other churches I've been to visit and so forth, 50 seconds, 60 seconds. One church I was very appreciative, 5 minutes worth of prayer they went into. Very awesome. But if we, as the body of Christ, want to really do the will of God and really believe that miracles and power and answers can come through, let alone the necessity of prayer, then why aren't we gathering on Sunday mornings? Throughout this model of church growth junk and all the rest that teaches the body of Christ to suppress everything for the sake of the possibility of one visitor that will be bored stiff usually by a suppressed dead church. So I want to tell you that when we read these words, Satan blinds minds so they cannot even see who Jesus Christ is. It's all about salvation. It's all about evangelism. Now, I already mentioned in 1 Thessalonians when Paul says he's going to do evangelism, but he said, Satan, stop me. So there is, in the lost individual, sin operating, blinding, and being leading the person literally to run from God. There is the satanic ownership and operative possibilities, Ephesians 2, 1. And then there's direct blinding. And the parable that Jesus taught in the gospel, the sower, and some of the word of God fell on rocky places, and the birds of the air, hey, the birds come. Jesus gives he tells the interpretation, Satan, the dark realm, the prince of darkness, he comes, as it says in Luke, to take away the word of God so they cannot believe. See, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can't be saved, can't be born again without the word of God. And so it is the power of God. It is the gospel of power. Faith comes from hearing. It has a power to cut through and enable people to believe on Jesus Christ. Now, we can all read Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, too. There again you'll see this difference, two positions, two circles. The domain of darkness, or the kingdom of Christ. The domain, the exousia, the temporary rule and reign of Satan is what every lost person is under. Until you get saved, and there that verse teaches, when you get saved, you're literally ripped up from this dominion of darkness and placed over into the basileia, the kingdom rule of Christ. You have a new nature. Your name's in God, the Lamb's Book of Life. God loves you. God is inside of you. you are his. The ownership issue is different. Everything. So it's really two circles that deal with two different positions. And you, my dear friend, are in one or the other. If you're lost, I would urge you, please, turn to the living Christ this evening. If you are saved, please understand. Not just the nature of the warfare. I can believe right now there are defeated believers that don't even know what happened to them. Listening right now. You don't even know spiritually what occurred. I've seen believers like Peter was after Satan sifted and beat them. He could barely, when Jesus went to him to restore him, he couldn't even admit to him. He would beat believers even going with exactly in Rome at the very end. He can't take you from God's love, Satan, God's love, angels, demons, nothing to take from, separate you from. But I guarantee you he can bring suppression and bring you to silence by hurting you, beating you, bringing you down, and keeping you from prayer, keeping you from worship, keeping you from staying filled with the Spirit, keeping you from evangelism. Majority of believers are not involved in evangelism. Many, if not the majority of believers, are not powerful prayer warriors. And I'm telling you, heart to heart, as a believer in Christ, that you as a believer are called to, privileged with, the ability to become powerful in prayer, powerfully effective in prayer, and effective in reaching hundreds and hundreds of people, and maybe even helping to spark revival. You, listen. May the Spirit of God bring you the Word of God and lead you to pursue that. Now, number two in this session, as we go along here, is the picture of lost people plus demonization. And I've already mentioned in the beginning here the story of the young man, the story of the girl, the story of the Hindu caste priest. Number two, this is a picture of the lost plus demonization. And we've got to emphasize this in seminaries and teaching places and Bible schools now, in churches everywhere, that, and I'm saying that by almost, I used to say back in the 80s and 90s, one out of every three people will already have some spiritual belief system they're into when you come to bring Christ to them. Now I'm saying one out of every two. There's more New Agers than there are atheists. There are far more, by the millions, New Agers and people that are into alternative, real spiritual stuff that's coming from the dark side as a counterfeit that only blinds them more. To the point that some are possessed, some are have demons in them, some believe they're being guided by, they're attaching to the Akashic Records. There's all kinds of things we don't have time to go into. But in Mark's Gospel chapter 5, you can go back to read Mark's Gospel chapter 5. There is a man living in the tombs naked. He's cutting himself. It's like the shreds of humanity are left, and he is absolutely possessed multiple demons, massively, massively overtaken. Supernatural strength. The people couldn't even bind him with chains. He would break them. Screaming out. No doubt people feared him. Nobody could help him. Until the Son of God, that every demon in hell, every demon operative on the earth now, every demon knows who he is. Maybe the atheist, the skeptic, the agnostic is listening. Maybe the New Age, maybe somebody else is listening. You don't know Christ. But I tell you one thing. Not only biblically do we see this, but in my experience in exorcisms, over 25 years, every real demon knows that Jesus is the human, that God, the world, and they fear him. And the Christ, and I as believers in Christ, is to trample this dark side, to overcome, Greek word Nike, to have decisive victory over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. So, the Lord Jesus did not leave us in the battle without equipment. And again, most believe around the battle was appropriate, not using it. The fact is that we've got massive equipment that is more authoritative, more authority, more power, more wisdom, more grace, more of everything. I mean, the authority of Christ is beyond the sum total of every demon in hell, including Satan himself. And you've been given that authority. Luke chapter 10, 18 and 19. In 1 John, we're told, greater, Megdala, is God the Holy Spirit in you than the Satan in the world and demons in the world. And so real believers in Christ that are growing and appropriating, accepting, taking, and then putting into practice the authority of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, the Word of God in prayer, having the armor of God on, these are all normal things that any believer in the first 6 months should be taught and experiencing and growing in. But we've got believers 25 years old that don't know these things. As the Spirit of God said out of the book of Hebrews, how shall we neglect so great a salvation? How do we neglect our worship, our prayer time, our walk, the Word of God, our love for Christ, evangelizing the world? How do we neglect that? We are spiritually, pathetically weak based on our own inaction. But I tell you right now, as you surrender to Jesus afresh and yield your life to Christ, and then you pursue, I'm accepting the authority Christ has given me. I'm accepting the call to Great Commission to reach the world. I'm accepting the call to be involved, devoted to prayer, to be involved in the battle, to fight for the lost and to fight for the church, and to fight for my family and my neighbor, even my nation. Why give the political realm to the enemy? You know, why let the dogs steal it all? And we do nothing? That's the Church of Sardis. When Jesus says you were once alive, but now you are dead. Your deeds, the works of Christ, are no longer being done. Yet there's a way out. And Jesus can bring us all revival. Now you're going to meet people in the midst of evangelism. And over the years, because of what we've done, we've had dozens and dozens and dozens of churches send us people, call on us for help. Law officers and psychiatrists and teachers bring us people or call us, demonized people they didn't know what to do with, in jails. And that's what I'm saying concerning evangelism. As you evangelize, you're going to find many people that are into spiritual practices that have strongholds, attachments, things they'll need to renounce and give up that might be putting more pressure or trying to keep them from hearing the gospel, or even possess people that may fully manifest in your sight and demons speak right out to you. And you will, as a believer in Christ, like Luke chapter 10, you'll have to commit or read clearly in the book of Acts chapter 16. Paul does something that is clearly the best and most definitive way. He just turns around to the demon that's in the girl. He says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of her. And it left. That's the authority of Christ that most Christians are not using. And I think we could use in a bigger and broader way. So check out the series, because we have a special message just on the use of the authority of Christ, how that can be ramped up in your life, and you can use it in many, many more different ways. So how does this man get evangelized? How does a man with multiple demons inside of him, ripped up, naked, bleeding, crazed, how does he get saved? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christus. Christ walks right up. And the sheer emanating presence authority of God in human flesh, Christ, forces the manifestation. I believe many spirit-filled, clothed with the power of the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God is really literally just emanating from you, Christ, that many times you will, we've seen this happen, walking into a room, cause the full manifestation of the demon, because they know what's coming. They know the presence of the living Christ. Christ is in you. You carry him right into the room, right into the city, right into the place, let alone take immediate action, commanding it to get out. And that's what Jesus did, commanding the demonic to get out. Well, read the story in Mark 5, And you're going to find out that in battling the Prince of Darkness, that evangelism the center, but there was a necessity of commanding the demons out of the man so that he could turn to Jesus, be clothed, and in his right mind. If we do it the way Jesus did it, and the way Jesus taught it, Luke 10, then we're going to see the same results. And the glorious thing is, in all these ugly situations that I've seen, in all these terrible, dark things that I've seen, because we've carried Christ, taken the authority of Jesus, and unleashed Jesus to people, regardless of how, you know, whacked out they were, we've seen the deliverance of the Lord and the salvation of the Lord. There's only been once that I really know of a person that we've commanded a manifested demon out of. When they were angry, they defied us, they basically spit on Christ and said they were going out to re-get their demons. That's probably 15 years ago, and they probably got more than they've ever had, and they're probably more lost than they've ever been. So there are going to be many lost people that have demons that you'll have to kick out. Possession is when there's total, the Greek word diabolizoi, the idea of demonization. There are those that are fully possessed where they are completely out of control. There are those that have spiritual attachment from things they've gotten into, bloodlines, family, whatever else. There are those that have opened doors. They've played with the Ouija board once, but maybe a spirit came. And now that spirit says, hey, you helped open the door. I'm going to kick around and I'm going to try to get more, you know, get into your life even more. There is a satanic synchronicity that as some spirits begin to operate and work through the doors that people open up to, the demonic will arrange, counterfeit to the providence of God, which arranges everything to get people to get saved. The enemy synchronizes events to keep people from getting saved and to go darker. Part of our prayer, part of our efforts need to recognize this day that we live. Now let me give you two more points to this session, and we'll be done. Point number three, evangelism as a power encounter. Jesus says in Matthew 28, all authority is given to me, you know, in heaven and earth has been given to me. And he gives us the Great Commission. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. We're told that we're going to get power from on high so we can be witnesses of Christ. So it's all about spiritual presence and power. I know any Satanist, real one, undergrounders, Luciferians, even out of Europe, you actually know that you're able to stand by your powers. That's why you want more demons and more demons and more demons and more demons to be really powered up. Because in attacking and using it, you've got to release them against people. Or do a full-blown ritual and conjure more to send against Christians and churches and people. In evangelism, let me mention five things about Satan. Number one, Satan seeks to stop Christians. 1 Thessalonians will tell you about that. Number two, Satan seeks to blind and bind the lost. Well, again, we mentioned that 2 Corinthians 4:4, or in Mark's Gospel 5, chapter 5. Number three, Satan seeks to steal the Word of God from people's hearts. Luke chapter 8, read the parable. That's the behind the scenes. You know, you ever been out there witnessing and sharing and you thought somebody was going to be saved? You know, give their heart to Christ, and you call back or you check on them, and they completely went the other way. Because how does Satan know when somebody has the Word of God? How does he even know this? Because they're operative. They're involved wherever believers who are manifesting the kingdom of Christ and the real spiritual light of the Spirit of the Lord of Christ, where we are preaching the gospel, Satan's there to try to steal it. He's there to try to stop you and to steal the word. He's fighting against it. That's why you're going to realize something. As Paul says, he fought the good fight. This does not mean that you don't have any opposition. That is not. This means that sometimes you got to get down and pray stronger, put more effort, fight back, pray against what the devil's doing, pray against what you see he's doing, and bring the word of God back. And listen, where's our effort? Where's the, you know, Jesus said, go to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. You know, when do we go to apartment complexes and back alley houses and places where nobody goes? Again and again and again and again. If anybody should be the pursuer, the believer should be the pursuer of the lost. Because it is God in us operative, and he's the great pursuer. If you're lost, God is pursuing you. If you're lost, this message has been arranged for you to hear. Jesus loves you, died for you, will save you right now, and you need to be saved. You need to come out of the darkness and into Christ. Fourthly, the Satan has throne presence in a city. Where you read the seven churches in the book of Revelation, you're going to read one where it says, where Satan has his throne. This means we're probably in a cult, some type of worship was being done, where a satanic presence was able to manifest and be very strong and bring control to the city. Look at Samaria. Philip went in, Acts chapter 8, he went into Samaria where a man, Simon, with the great satanic power, amazed the people, the high and low. He literally captivated with his powers the whole city until the gospel arrived through a witness, a faithful witness that was literally willing to run and pursue lost people. So I want to say to you that, let me give you one more. Satan also has a presence in a person. So whether Satan is trying to stop believers, bind and blind the lost, steal the word in the midst, have his powerful presence enthroned and operative and literally ruling the city, that's where you're going to find great antagonism, even laws, whatever else. That's what I'm saying right now. The goal of dark rituals are all about bringing more and more darkness, influencing politicians. Bohemian Grove is all about that. But, you know, don't forget, Satan looks, and eventually when globalism comes, we will see his enthronement in political systems. And that's going on everywhere. And so you got to fight in your nation. And you got to do what you can. And you'll have to, you know, if you have to do evangelism, you know, from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning to not be opposed by authorities, you got to just pray for whatever. God will make a way. You read Acts chapter 8, even with Philip being, you know, transported supernaturally. Angels came to help. If you're committed to Jesus Christ and the gospel and reaching everybody and you want to get them lost, all of heaven, God and all that he has backed you and will be honored. It's the most powerful place, the safest place, and the most fruitful place for every believer. Now let me give you the last one, number four, breaking down the satanic strongholds. So we're talking about how real this is, but let me just talk about quickly here. Breaking down the satanic strongholds. Now I'm going to say use the book of Acts as kind of a field manual, but I'm going to give you six areas of power of God operative in your life and through your life. Number one, the power of prayer. James 5 or Acts chapter 4. The power of prayer is absolutely incredible to advance, you know, God's kingdom, to pray for the advance of the gospel, to pray for the power and blessing of God over the church. Prayer is, again, where God's miracles and signs and wonders and, you know, where we're praying against darkness. That's what most Christians need to learn to add to your good prayer intercession. Add praying with authority against darkness. In evangelism and, you know, reaching people, pray against Satan's works to keep people from being saved. He'll try to throw obstacles, so prayer, the power of prayer. Acts 4 is very clear, too, of God's answer. Number two, The power of the name of Jesus. Well, James chapter 2 tells us that demons tremble at that name. They know. They tremble at the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, you could be saved, you could be healed, obviously delivered from demons. This is the power, his name. The power to be saved. There is no other name given among men under heaven that people can be saved by. You cannot call upon any other name to be saved. Millions worldwide, millions and millions and millions. That's all I did 35, 36 years ago in my basement after a party, after doing drugs, being an occultist, Buddhist, spiritual seeker. I called on the name of Jesus Christ, and the living Christ came into my life, gave me the gift of the Holy Spirit. And from that day to this, even though I have not been perfect, he has been perfect. Amen? Number three, the power of the gospel, Romans 1:16. Paul says it very clearly. You know, you need to say it all week long out loud. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Whether it's the prostitute or the politician, the biker or the businessman, doesn't make any difference. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And all of the Roman Empire, all of the intellectual side, all of the learning, all of the Holy Roman Empire, whatever it was in Paul's day, with all of its emperor worship, spiritual blood cults, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And you need to understand, the gospel is the most powerful spiritual pack. It's beyond signs, wonders of God. It's beyond miracles. It's beyond healing. The gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. It has the ability to break into the lost heart and mind, to literally and give them faith to believe. It involves the Spirit, God's presence, to some of them to repent and believe. Number four, the power of the Spirit of God. Oh, dear believer in Christ, when Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, that's Acts chapter 1. But the clothing, experiential. I'm talking about the clothing of the power from on high. There is, on the earth, no greater power, spiritual presence and power, than the clothing of the Spirit of God's power on you to get you and I to do the greatest spiritual mission in human history. Because why? God so loved the world. You ever read John 3:16 and 17? God did not send Jesus Christ into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. He's out to save you if you're lost. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a soldier listening at a listening post. I don't care if you're listening in frozen tundra upper Canada. It doesn't make any difference if you're InfoGuard listening more than anything else. The gospel, it is the power of God. The Holy Spirit will help. He's out to evangelize, lead, guide, convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Let me give you the fourth one, or fifth one rather. The power of the Word of God. And that's Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. That the Word of God is living and active. It literally has the presence of God in the written grapha on it, and the Spirit of God uses it. It is the living words that has the power to just penetrate. You think in terms of, an arrow that can be shot and penetrate skin. We're talking about a double-edged sword here, the idea of the ability to slice right into any human being, the Word of God. To slice through the satanic powers, the sin work, the authority of the Word of God is so great, so powerful. But it's got to be, brought to an individual. And if you're listening now, believing it, then it becomes operative in you. Believing it means putting it into practice, in which it becomes operative in you. The last thing is simply the power of miracles and answered prayer. You read the book of Acts, you'll see this massive, amazing power of God in every incredible, well, even as it says, extraordinary ways. May God bless every believer listening in the power of prayer, the power of the name of Jesus Christ, the power of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Word of God, and the power of God's extraordinary answers and miracles and signs and even wonders. My dear friends, we're past 1 hour. Session number 6, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web. God's blessing to you. This is Rusty's Dark.